All right, so for in baseball today, the union and MLB at loggerheads are rejecting things back and forth, and so we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll find out something on Monday. Well, we'll see if you're going back to work so fast, so we'll see what's going on there. Reggie Sanders, outfielder, was part of the Giants in 2002. I got to meet him many times. Maybe the one of the happiest guys in baseball, always a smile. And boy, whoa, this guy could hit. He had good power.
Yeah, Marty, you're exactly right. What stands out for me is he was always smiling. He was just a nice guy, always very content with himself and the people around him. Never really was, got upset or mad at people. And that's what stood out to me because I was still a pretty young coach, 2002, and, you know, he had such good years in Cincinnati. Center fielder, speed, power. He could steal a base. He could beat you with the home run. He did swing and miss, you know what I mean? He chased that fastball up, but I think he hit 23 home runs for us in 2002. But he could beat you a lot of ways, and I remember when he came to us, I was so excited to get to work with him and know him, and that's what struck me is his professionalism. You know, as a young coach, when you have these, you know, he was a darn good player and an all-star, and then you get a chance to work with him, and the respect that they show you and how coachable they are in relationship that they build with you and his rest of your teammates. That's what impressed me about Reggie. And I get to see him now still when we go to Surprise. He's coaching for the Royals. Yeah. So he's an instructor with them, not in the major leagues. I don't know if he's a roving outfield guy or hitting guy. But big old smile, just like you said, Marty, whenever you see him, and always fun to talk with Reggie Sanders. Bill, did you have much experience with Reggie?
Well, I got to meet him, too. And, I mean, just like both you and Marty said, he was very a delightful guy. I always said hello to you, never, you know, pushed you away in the media side. He always was very open and happy. But I thought his best years, as I remember him, not really a couple years of the Giants, was when he was at Reds when he first came up. He was really hot. He had a few years stolen bases. I remember his speed, and he had that upper body strength. Hit the ball really well, over 300 home runs in his career. Everything was good with him. Speed, his defense was good, had a good arm, a good personality in the clubhouse. And I think that's one of the reasons why he went on to play many years after the Giants. I do believe I looked up 17-year career, which is pretty good. But, you know, when you look at a personality of a player, how well he plays, how he adjusts to roles, Reggie Sanders got an A-plus on my side.
Yeah, 17 years in the major leagues. Well, you're right, 23 homers, 85 RBIs in 2002. But he's a guy, when you're going to win a pennant and you're in the mix, that's a guy you want to add. It was like Don Baylor used to be, or Lonnie Smith, or people like that. You know, there's that one guy you add, and you say, okay, now we can win a pennant. He was kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right, Mario. Well, we went to the World Series with him. I mean, he could cover the outfield. You know how big the outfield was in our ballpark back at Pac Bell, we used to call it. You had to cover the field, and he could run the ball down, like you said, steal the base, hit with power, and he was a big reason we went to the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Alan Embry, left-hander, 99 through 01, this guy was in a lot of games. And Alan Embry, remember him, big left-hander, would come in, and he was a guy you could rely on.
Yeah, Bill, why don't you start us off on Alan Embry? I'm curious your take on Alan. I know you've seen him a lot over the years. He played for just about everybody in baseball, I believe.
10 teams,
mostly the American League. I mean, the Giants was the only, he played with Atlanta a little bit, but I think Marty was right. He was in every game, it seemed like. High 60, 70 games every year. He was in the middle. He was a setup. Three quarters, a good fastball, good breaking ball. But when he left the Giants is when really I thought he took off when he switched with Boston, and then his last few years with Oakland, watching him play over there. I mean, he still had a good fastball, lively fastball, and as a left-hander, he got guys out by bringing it up over their hands. He, the high fastball, he blew people away, and then he had that hard breaking ball. But a very good left-hander for several years with the Giants, and he was that type of guy. When you wanted a lefty, middle, or end, he was him. And that's what he did with the Giants And I think it was a 99-2000, right in that area.
Yeah, I'll tell you, well, today he'd be very valuable because he's got to face three batters, and this is a guy who could bring it. I bet today he would be a big star.
Well, you're exactly right. I was just going to mention that. But to be reincarnated, I'd come back as Alan Embry, a left-hander that throws hard in the low 90s, which has that high riding fastball. He could get righties and lefties. As a matter of fact, he was more used, you know. It wasn't like a situational lefty. He had that hard slurve, but, you know, he was in Atlanta, and you know, they had such good pitching over there, and saw him pitch over there. When he first came to us, he had very good stuff, and as Bill mentioned, we used him in every position possible. But his, you know, his presence on the mound, I don't think he came into his own until Bill said, as he left the Giants, he pitched good for us, don't get me wrong, but he matured. Mm-hmm. The one thing I remember about him was, you know, his command was shaky. You weren't sure what you were going to get, and runners rattled him a little bit when they got on base. You could run on him, and I think as he matured as a pitcher, he got better and better, and was able to have a better presence on the mound, pitch in the bigger moments later on in his career. But he was a very good pitcher for us, and kept getting better, and had a nice career.
Yeah, good scouting report. 882 games, 10 teams. 10 teams. He went from Arizona to the Giants. That's how he got here. I'm going to give you a name, Will. Remember Dante Powell?
Yeah, I got plenty of stories about our number one pick out of Long Beach State. Dante Powell played for me a couple of years in the minors. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the trade for Dante Powell.
Okay.
All right.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
I remember the name. Did he make it to the Giants? I don't even remember if he did or not.
Yeah, he had a cup of coffee. Dante was a number one pick, very talented, could really run. When you're number one pick, you know, you're going to get all the chances in the world. And he just never became the player that, you know, they projected him to be. And got a cup of coffee, and that was about it. And his tools never mastered his tools and played at a high level in the big leagues like everybody expected he would.
Boy, Brian Sabian did a lot, didn't he? Didn't Brian Sabian make moves? Now that every time we go through this, well, he just made moves.
Well, I have to agree with you. I mean, the thing that really stands out to me in all the years I've been with the Giants, I remember my first 5 years with Dusty was there. I think we played a total of 3 games that were meaningless. I mean, every year we were in the thing. Of course, we had some lean years when Felipe came and then at the beginning of Boch's career. But, you know, Brian always and his staff, Bobby Evans and the whole crew, Dick Tidrow, you know, and Pat Dobson was a great scout for us. But, you know, they always put us, and Ed Coletti was there at the time, was a great tandem with saves. And they always put us in a position to win. You know, every year we went out and we tried to win. And we always we didn't think about 2 years, 3 years down the road. They always got us players, whether it was through trades or signings, to get us competitive. And certainly at the trading deadline, I don't remember a year that saves was there that we didn't add because we had a chance to win it. We never subtracted. And, you know, as a coach, as a player, those things, it's really gratifying. To work for an organization that gives you those resources like the ownership did, and to have a general manager that goes for it like Brian did with this organization. He did so many great things for this organization.
Mm. Well said.
And I know, you know, weeks ago, I know, Marty, you brought it up of Brian Sabian trying to get in the Hall of Fame and should be in the Hall of Fame, and I think we should mention that right now because you have general managers that sit on their hands and they don't want to make those trades. They don't want to be competitive. I remember him coming in here, and the first person he traded was Matt Williams, one of the most favored Giants in baseball history with San Francisco. And he was that type of card player, you know. He if he felt he had to make a move, he did it. He didn't listen, but to anybody, to the people around him. And that's how great general managers make those moves, and that's how you win 3 World Series. And tips your hat to him because people just don't give him the respect in the game. That's what he should be deserved.
Yeah, he'll get it, but it's a different game today. We all know it, and you know, it's analytical, and they look at a lot of different things as opposed to building a team through these kind of players. Because Reggie Sanders was, you know, older when he came in here, you wouldn't even give him a look today. So it's a different ball game. Different ball game. Let's move on to the anniversary of the first interleague game. Whoa, and it's the Giants at Texas. Mark Gardner's pitching. Darrell Hamilton leads off. He gets a base hit. Glenn Allen Hill is at DH for the National League. And here's interleague. Do you think he'll ever get used to it?
You know, I was excited to do the interleague thing. You know, I'm not fond of the DH. I mean, I'll say that. But I was excited to do that. I thought, you know, you played your own division so many games, that it was nice to see the other players in the other cities and see something different. I mean, who wants to play the same team 20 something times or whatever the number was? It was an awful lot. And you stop playing out of your division a little bit more. We used to go like to New York twice a year or Chicago twice a year, and it all went down to once a year after interleague came in. But I think it was good for the sport. I think the fans liked it. The fans were able to see some American League clubs, which they didn't have to go to Oakland to see. They could see it in San Francisco. And I enjoyed it all. And I do remember, you know, the first interleague. It was quite a change, but I enjoyed it.
You know, Ron, the only time we really went interleague was in the minor leagues, because they didn't just do National American. And we always enjoyed watching other players from other teams as they proceeded to get to the big leagues. And then once the big leagues adapted to it, I thought it was the greatest move. Of course, I'm not going to sway your way in the DH, because I don't like it in the National League. And we'll just see if it's going to be put in this year. If they play baseball, hopefully they will, and we'll see if it works. But I love it. I think it's great for fans, and not just your fans, fans of baseball, to see National League teams come into American League parks and vice versa. And I hope they just continue to keep doing it. I think
they will. Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I think so.
Really it's the
do.
Money. The money is there. As these two sides try to stare each other down, we'll see where it ends up next week.
Yeah.
Glenn Allen Hill, well, we'll close with that one. Glenn Allen Hill, I remember him from Santa Cruz. Kind of an interesting guy. Maybe swing and miss, you may say. But, boy, when he hit the ball, he hit it.
Yeah, I know. Glenn Allen actually played for me. In Phoenix, you know, when I was managing in AAA, we'd get rehab guys come down, or he spent half a season with me, I believe, 1 year, or it was a long rehab or something, but I got to know him very, very well. He was a dangerous hitter, a little shaky at times in the outfield. I mean, he got the job done, but when that ball went up, he'd do that cha-cha-cha with his feet, and he'd be dancing around, but he'd make the play. But he didn't look as comfortable or confident in the outfield as he did at home plate. And when he hit it, he could hurt the third baseman, I'll tell you that. And he was a different cat.
Yes.
You know, I use the word cat because he was a cat, right, Bill? I mean, he had different ideas and different things going on there. But a nice guy. I enjoyed being around Glenn Allen Hill. And he was managing in the minor leagues and got to the big leagues as a coach. He still may be in the minor leagues managing. I'm not sure. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, well, Glenn Allen was Dusty Baker's guy. Dusty loved him. Just his energy and spontaneous, all like you say, and comes in the on-deck circle. He's thinking one way out of the yard, and that's how he swung. And I agree with you, in the outfield, fly ball would hit, and you're just wondering, is he going to catch it? How is he going to catch it? And if it's going to be over his head or what? The defensive structure of Glenn Allen Hill wasn't one of his top performances, but swinging the bat, boy, he could swing it. And he, you know, he had some speed, too. And, you know, after he left the Giants, I remember him being a first base coach with the Rockies for many years, because they'd always, Kruk and Kipe would always tell a story about him. And I'd just sit there and laugh, because all of them were good at Glenn Allen stories.
Yeah, good guy. And he was different. Whoa, you're right. He was, I remember interviewing him, and I said, boy, this is a little different. Gotta hang in here with him. You never know what he was going to say. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, one last thing on this day in baseball history. Jimmy Rollins on this date broke the Phillies' all-time hit record, went past Mike Schmidt. We had Jimmy Rollins, in spring training. I got to know him Of course, when he played at Encinal High School here. Evan, my son, played at El Cerrito. I remember playing against Jimmy Rollins. But Jimmy Rollins was with the Giants just for spring training. Did you get to know him at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He, great guy. Well, we had to face him in Philly, him and Utley. They were so good, and they were the class of the league. If you were going to get into the playoffs, you had to go through Philly when they had those good teams. And J-Row was always in the middle of it, leadoff hitter. I mean, he could hit anywhere in a lineup, switch hitter, dangerous from both sides. Really was a good defender, had an outstanding arm, range. He could do it all. He could steal a base, and He was a fantastic player, so I was excited to have him. Of course, he was on the downside of his career when we got him in spring training. He was fighting for the utility role. We did a lot of early work, and I was impressed his desire to play for the Giants. He really wanted to be on the team. He was out early every morning. We were working on the double play pivot. He played mostly shortstop, so playing second base was a little bit of an adjustment. He had done a little bit turning to double play, and he working at third. And you got an everyday player, an all-star, a fantastic player as a shortstop. Then you have to learn the other positions, and you're fighting for a utility role. Not everybody would accept that, and it was a tough decision. He didn't make the club, but a lot of people wanted him on the club, and he probably would have done a great job as a utility player. Because he had that experience, he could spot play, knew how to hit off the bench. But I can't remember who beat him out for that role, but it was a great guy, and it was nice to get to know him.
Yeah, had fun with him with Willie Mays in the clubhouse. He loved Willie, and Willie loved him. And, Willie would sit, at the table there, and Jimmy would get it on with him really well. He was a good guy.
Yeah. He was, and I tell you what, he was kind of the face of baseball back when he was with the Phillies, captain of the Phillies. They had so many great runs back then, and when the Philly fans love you, you must be doing something right, because there's not too many people that they like when they're in that Philly uniform or opposing team. But Jimmy Rollins was that kind of guy, and he'll go down in Philly history as one of their best players.
Yeah, borderline Hall of Famer, I guess. I wouldn't think about it, but A lot of MVP of the league, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah,
probably
he was.
Probably so.
Yeah, World Series and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Jimmy Rollins, good guy. I'm glad that we could touch on him. Hey, Doug Greenwald, Glenn Allen Hill got let go by Colorado after managing their AAA team for a handful of years. He texted with him last week, and he hasn't landed a job this winter. So that's the Glenn Allen Hill story.
Okay.
So that's a story with him. I'm glad we could talk about some of these players. And as I said, this is what baseball is all about. This is exactly what it's all about. And got to get it back. And we'll see how the stare down goes. But, well, we may be talking to you for a few more weeks before you got any action.
Well, I'm available on Saturday night, 6 o'clock. I like the late dinner, on Saturday night. So I'll be here, Marty, until we start working.
All right. I appreciate
it. Hey, Ron, I just want to make sure your fast track is working in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I've been to the city a couple of times. I got to make sure it registers. So once a week, I try to get in there just to see if the thing will beat for me.
Yeah, actually, it's if there is a spring training, if all this happens, it will be in San Francisco, which will be different for you. The whole thing is going to be different. And I'll say it again.
Sure,
it's
is.
Up to the health of the players and the country and the city, and everything that's going on is all wrapped into this whole thing. This is not baseball in a vacuum. There's a lot going on. So let's stay tuned, and we'll see what happens. But, guys, another great night, and I appreciate you both being on. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well said, Marty. Enjoyed it, Bill. You take care. We'll see you next week, huh, guys?
Yep, same to both of you guys. Be safe and enjoy the weather. It's getting nice out.
All right, take care. All right, that is Bill Lasky and the Professor Ron Wotus. We've got Kerry Crowley coming up. We've got a full show ahead for you. So the story where baseball is right now, and the union and the owners sort of staring each other down again, and letters and missives going back and forth, accusing each other. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But that's the world we live in today. There's a lot of polarization going on. So I always like to acknowledge the family. I don't get to see enough of them, even with the quarantines and social distancing going on. So for Bonnie, Greg, Noah, congratulations on the graduation, and Ruby, and Evan, and Robin, and Lolly, and Stella, And, of course, Marlene and Christina, Barbara, Penny, and Piero getting me going here. And, of course, Aaron over at Byright. So we remember Barry Faden tonight, too, Robin's dad, and passed away a couple of years ago. No one better than Barry. We loved him very much and remember him on this evening. Big Philly fan as well. He would have enjoyed the Jimmy Rollins story.